Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about.
The United States is a wonderfully interesting nation to cover as a reporter. It's constantly looking for things to do around the world that will make itself as obnoxious as possible, not only to individuals who are leaders, but to little people, to little scientists here and there who invent something that the American government feels in its own special interest would be good for it to have. This might require them to get this person to sign over all of the information, the patent materials, etc., or to simply sell it to the highest bidder, who might even be, well, someone that looks like he's with Al-Qaeda. And then once the man signs it over to Al-Qaeda for money, he's then arrested as a terrorist. These things are done. Things like this are basically the purview of the CIA and Homeland Security. And whenever something looks good enough for the United States to kill over it, well, sometimes just to put someone in prison forever and keep the locks on them would more than suffice. Although killing is more and more popular by the federal government because the prisons are quite full. We have 3 million people in prison now, which is three times the number of people who are in Chinese prisons, despite the fact that China has four times the number of people as the United States. Nonetheless, the United States has three times the number of people as China in its prisons. You have to ask yourself, in a country like the United States, which sees itself as a principled nation, one that treats people with kindness, that treats them with respect, that wants them to be a free people, why would the United States be such a prison-friendly country? Why would it wish to put so many people behind bars? I've often asked myself that question. I can't really come up with a perfect answer except that, well, there's money in this. The United States loves money. Oh, yes, it does love money. And I figure that's probably the reason that they want to put these persons away for a long, long time. And you have to remember that the rest of the world doesn't see execution as a nice thing to do to people. The rest of the world's had a lot of executions, far more than the United States has had, due to World War I and World War II, where people were summarily stood up against a wall and machine-gunned by the Allies. Of course, we only see this with the Germans. They tend to be the ones who are shown doing this, but the reason that we knew that the Germans were doing it was that our reporters had seen ourselves doing it to the citizens of these different nations as we walked into them and took over. Tennyson, Alfred Lord Tennyson, once said that when you're going to have an empire, it eventually comes down to shooting their heads off. Or did he say cutting their heads off? One way or the other, it meant killing the native population. Or at least enough of them to get the rest of them to cower down and to do what you wanted them to do, you being the colonizing force. And in World War II, we are the colonizing force. We were the ones that took over Western Europe. We became their colonial masters. France was smart enough to get us out of there. They told us to take our NATO troops and scram. They didn't want any of our bases there, because they knew if they had our bases there that they would basically basically be under our heel. No sovereign nation wants to have a military force in their neighborhood with boots and guns, atomic weapons. France was always too proud for that. England, on the other hand, England wasn't too proud for it. But England basically speaks English, as does America. And the Francophiles who speak French and who feel that the English have destroyed much of their younger colonies from years ago by taking them over through treaties, trades, etc., wars, whatever, so that the people in those colonies stopped speaking French and started speaking English. Now, they didn't particularly want the Americans in there, because if the Americans were in France, England would be in France, and with both of us having bases there, the poor little Frenchman would no longer even speak French within a few decades. I was stationed in Germany for a while, teaching Americans there, and, I became surprised that the poor Bavarians could even speak German anymore. They loved to practice their English on American soldiers and other American employees, because it was the popular thing to do, and there was money there, because a lot of the economy of Germany had to do with the Allies being stationed in military fortresses and purchasing food, materials, flights, etc. They would go in and out of the German airports. They made a lot of money off of these allies. So even though they were a conquered country, there were some benefits to being conquered. And of course, the Americans also provided the airlift to Berlin for the Germans. That cost billions of dollars. And we seemed to be pretty good guys, although we had people in our armies that would regularly seduce and rape German girls, which the Germans didn't particularly like. So there were problems like that in the newspapers whenever someone would be tossed to the ground and summarily raped, and they had to find out who did it, and then they had to negotiate with the Americans to be able to prosecute that person. But the Americans didn't really want the Germans to prosecute American soldiers, so the Americans always did the prosecution, which never satisfied the Germans. I believe today maybe the Germans are able to prosecute American soldiers who do things like that, but at the time they couldn't touch an American soldier, which reminded them that they were our colony, that we won the war, and that they were going to kiss up to us, and that's the way it was going to be. It was a full 10 years after the war before the Germans were even given a peace treaty, which allowed them to have certain rights that they didn't have ever since the war started. And each step of the way, we took their personal liberties away from them as a nation, their sovereignty. We forced them to have a military that was a defense force only, that couldn't go outside of Germany, until finally we needed their help, and we seduced them into changing that so they could come to the different colonial wars that the United States and Britain and France were having in Africa and in Asia and the Middle East. They would send a few token soldiers to help us out a little bit, but if we were going to become aggressive with them, they'd back off and say, no, we're forbidden to do that, and we're not going to get involved in that because, by God, we learned our lesson in World War II, and we just don't want to do that again. So at any rate, the United States itself has gotten itself into a situation whereby it has forced its congressmen to vote against the constitutional rights that are guaranteed to every American, so that when a president stands up and says, we believe in human rights, you know he's a big fat liar, because people who believe in human rights do not toss the rights out of the window in 15 minutes if the Homeland Security Agency tells them that if they don't vote for the destruction of their own constitutional rights immediately, within 15 minutes, there will be martial law, and they will end up voting for it anyway, because the situation is so dire. Well, the situation in America has never been dire as long as I've been born. It wasn't even dire after the Japanese struck Pearl Harbor, which we tend to overrate as an act of arrogance. I don't think that Pearl Harbor was any more arrogant than the United States performing shock and awe against the people of Iraq when they really hadn't done anything to us particularly. I don't think that it was very sadistic to attack Pearl Harbor by comparison to the Americans and the British carpet bombing innocent little German towns way out in the countryside, in the mountains even, where there was no military, there were no factories, but they just wanted to bomb these people into the ground. And Churchill said, we're trying to destabilize Germany so that she'll never be able to have an army again. And he was basically wanting to commit genocide against them. They tried to have treaties with Germany that, where Germany would be basically denuded of all of its manufacturing, so that they wouldn't be able to trade for food, which would mean, since two-thirds of their food had to come from outside the country because they couldn't raise enough food to feed their dense population, that two-thirds of the Germans would die of starvation. And this was America's national policy and Britain's for quite a while after World War II. Although we never went through with it. The Russians definitely wanted it. Definitely. They kept pushing it, and you could read about it in the newspapers day after day, that this is what the Russians wanted. The Jews wanted it. The Israelis wanted Germany totally destroyed. They wanted their neck wrung. In fact, there were Mossad people who were planning to poison the water supply of the Germans in different cities like Frankfurt and Hamburg, so that they would kill the majority of the German population overnight. Fortunately for the Germans, and for probably for the Israelis, that never happened, because if they had done it, the reaction would have been probably instant and terrible. Although by then they had so much power in the news and the banking around the world, and the fact that they were on the winning side and were running the UN even. As a matter of fact, the Jews were able to get the first vote in the UN to be the vote that partitioned Palestine and allowed the murderous state of Israel to begin to take shape, which it did rather rapidly, and very soon we knew what a monster that state was going to become. And now we know that it's a monster that runs our country. It runs America. And it uses its people like Wolf Blitzer to propagandize the people all over the United States. These Jewish-owned entities known as news studios with commentators that are filled with Jewish people, such as the wife of the ex-head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan. His wife is one of the biggest commentators internationally for NBC and MSNBC. She's constantly on the air, along with other people who are associated with that same tribe of news people who were basically the Bolsheviks of Russia, and who, in their administration of Russia from 1917 to about 1950, had murdered approximately 60 million, 65 million Russians, most of them Christians, and got by with it because, well, since they ran the New York Times, the Washington Post, and hundreds of other newspapers, as well as NBC and the rest of these organs that gave us our news, well, they weren't about to tell anybody that the Russians were basically run by Jewish people from New York who went over there on steamships in World War I in 1917, and that Trotsky was Jewish and that he used to live in New York. They didn't want anybody to know that. Well, that would spoil the fun, wouldn't it? If you're going to own all this news media, the least you can do with it is blind the people in the country that you're trying to colonize through your propaganda, through your banks, through your ability to buy every congressman's vote for everything that they're ever going to vote for. You wouldn't want to ruin that by letting that information out. So, of course, they kept it quiet. I'm proud to say that I have been a headache to the Israeli Zionazi government in Jerusalem and in Tel Aviv and in Haifa, that they don't particularly like me, and I used to be referred to as the biggest anti-Semite in the world simply because I reported on the news that happened in Israel and wouldn't let it fall off the board. I kept it up there, and I kept covering it and covering it, and when they went into Lebanon, that was when everything turned around, because with all of the photographs that came out of Lebanon of children with their heads blown off, blood pouring from the orifice of their neck, because the Israelis had bombed a building with their mothers and themselves in it, and that all this collateral damage, these children were being murdered and slaughtered by the Israelis. And the Israelis constantly had some sort of a kind of a PR reputation for saying, well, oh, these people were terrorists, that's why we did it. There was nothing else we could do. We couldn't wait, we had to do it immediately. Or there were people in the vicinity of that house that were bombing our troops 50 miles away, so of course we had to go after them with airplanes and destroy those buildings. And they put these guns close to these buildings so that we would destroy them, so they could use the propaganda to say that we didn't like children. And other just really ridiculous claims that you could see all over YouTube, or at least you used to, until the ADL got YouTube to agree to let the ADL help it to filter out the material on YouTube so that Israel wouldn't come off looking like the murderous Nazi government that it is. The Israelis and the Americans have perfected Hitler's strategy for controlling much of the world. Hitler's strategy was to use overwhelming military power, diplomacy, and genocide to go after other people. And that's exactly what Israel and the United States have done. We've committed genocide against other nations. Israel obviously committed genocide against the people that were living in the partitioned areas of Palestine, especially the ones they were living in. And they made sure that these people couldn't get an upper hand, and they did everything they could to stifle any economy they might have so they would be poor, and then to make agreements with the United States and other Western nations for these people to flee Israel and go to Australia and England and the United States, where they really weren't particularly wanted. I mean, look at London with all the Muslims in London. It's just a crazy place. And they made it into a jerk country. Nobody wants that sort of thing in their country. We want to have people in our country that look like us, that think like us, that come from the same civilization. We don't want to bring trouble to our lands, but that's exactly what the Bolsheviks have done to England and to America, to Germany. They have brought these people who caused divisions among the people of a nation simply to cause trouble so that they can then use that trouble to destroy the provisions in the constitutions of these nations and to say, well, because you people couldn't get along, we have to take your freedoms away. We have to take away your freedom of speech, your freedom of the press, your freedom to choose what you want to do in a school, your freedom to choose a school that you want to go to, etc., etc., etc. Oh, and we also need to pass the Patriot Act, which is totally misnamed. It should be called the Anti-Patriot Act or the Anti-Constitution Act, the Anti-Freedom Act, because the freedoms that are guaranteed were taken away by this particular piece of landmark legislation, which was passed by these freaks in Congress and the Senate, who don't care a damn about the people of the United States at all. They're the ones who have allowed the border to remain open for 1,000 or 2,000 miles all the way across the huge border with Mexico, where anybody can just walk into America and no one will bother them. And if anybody pulls one of them over, they have to let them go immediately. And if they arrest them and hold them for the immigration authorities, the immigration authorities say, we don't have the money to do anything, just let them go. So at the same time they're doing this, they're allowing thousands of people to pour across the border. They're lying and saying that we have a war on terrorism. I mean, really? Do I need to repeat this every day? That you can't have a war on terrorism and then have your border wide open so that anybody who's unidentified can walk across it? And if they want, carry an atomic weapon with them on their back, put it into a city and blow it up? Does anybody not know that this is totally ridiculous? That if you really believe that you're in a war on terrorists, that you'd definitely secure your borders? You definitely would. In fact, the people who they say stole those airplanes and blew up the buildings in New York on 9/11, they came across the border from Canada. And this was a great breach of our national security. And it only took a few people to do it. So why then are the borders wide open? It's because we really don't have a war on terror, that's why. It's all a big pretense of the federal Gestapo to put the screws on every American so that they can steal your property from you by allowing the banks to foreclose on you, so that they can make sure that whatever you do, you're going to look around your back to see that no one's knocking on your door saying, I'm from the federal government and we're investigating you for being a possible traitor or a terrorist. I pretty much had that happen to me, and all I did was have my little news site on the internet, you watch news, and some Jews from the federal government, namely Chertov and Mukasey, who ran the Homeland Security and the Department of Justice, sent me a letter with their names on the top saying I'd been selected for a diversionary trial deal. And I hadn't done anything. But they swore they were going to put me in jail 99 years if I didn't make some kind of agreement with them. And they went to their Department of Lies, and they came up with all sorts of lies about them. They said, either you're going to sign this, or we might put you in jail for 99 years. I'd like to be under some stress like that. Would you like that? Would it make you feel like you were living in a country that respected your civil right to publish, to think, to speak? Well, it didn't. It didn't impress me very much. I began to look at America in a whole new light, as a fascist Russian type of entity. That this nation is beyond repair. That it has become the Soviet Union, and it's run by the same tribe of Bolsheviks who went from New York to Moscow, and then when the Soviet Union fell apart, they came back here to work in the banks, to go to Brighton Beach, and to run this country, which they've done for the past 30, 40, 50 years. They have run this country. This is their colony, just as Russia was a colony of the Jewish Bolsheviks from 1917 on. Now America has taken that spot, and these other nations around the world have them trying to run their countries too. England is run by the Rothschilds. France is run by the Rothschilds. Germany is run by the Rothschilds. Everybody's run by the Rothschilds. Every one of them. America's run by the Rothschilds. Federal Reserve System is owned by the Rothschilds. It's privately owned by these banks that they run. And much of the money that went through the TARP that they didn't want to tell us about, recently they revealed that almost all that money, 80-90% of it, went overseas to Rothschild banks, who had claimed they'd lost their shirts, and that you and I had to pay for their shirt that they lost. We had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. But our congressmen who take money from these denizens, these traitors in New York, from Goldman Sachs and the rest of these places, and give them their money for their campaigns, they decided that you and I were going to pay this. Well, I'm not going to pay it, and I hope you don't pay it either. I'm not paying these banks a dime. In fact, I want them shut down now. These banks, these newspapers, these television stations, these are a threat to our national security. They're a threat to our national identity. They're run by 2% of the population, the 2% that ruined the Soviet Union, that ruined Russia with the Soviet Union, and they're now ruining America the same way. And I want them removed from these properties. I want the properties taken from them. I want them to be made into beggars and deported out of this country so that they won't have the money to be a threat to anybody else ever again. I want their patents taken away. I want their copyrights taken away. I want all of these things they have stolen from the rest of us with the deals that they've made year after year after year to be stripped from them. These people are a disgrace. They're a disgrace to America, a disgrace to England, a disgrace to France, a disgrace to China, a disgrace even to Israel itself. They are disgraces to the entire world, and they need to be removed from any position of power. They need to be taken away from the
head of all these universities like Harvard and Yale, where they run the show and make sure that their people get all the top spots when it comes to the law schools, the medical schools, etc. So that regular people, people who aren't just the 2%, you know, or Chinese people who they let in also, anything to keep white and black people out, they'll let them in. And they've done this consistently, and you can look at the records and see that this is true. These people need to be removed because of their treachery against the people of this country. And they did everything in their favor of their own people. Now, I don't blame them for wanting to do things to their own people, but I blame the leaders of this country for allowing them to do this, because they were supposed to keep the lid on things so that everybody would get an equal chance to be a success in this country. And now, if you're not Jewish, if you're not pro-Mossad, if you're not pro-Israel, you don't have a chance to do anything. You have to be from the Bolshevik tribe that started Russia, that runs the banks, that screws the American people, that bribes Congress, or you don't have an equal chance. You're second-class citizen, third-class, fourth-class. And if they can bring immigrants in here and replace you with them so that your power is diluted even further, they will, by God, do that, because that is the Bolshevik way. They're trying to create globalism, and the way to create globalism is to go into a country such as the United States and deconstruct it, and to fill it with people not like the people who live here, with the express purpose of balkanizing it, causing trouble, so that they can go then to the Congress and take more freedoms away, saying, you people can't get along, therefore we're going to have to take more freedoms away from you, etc., etc., etc. It's a Hegelian dialectic. You have a plan in mind, you have laws already written, you create a situation whereby the people will beg to have their freedoms taken away, and then you present a 1,600 or 16,000 page document and say you have 15 minutes to pass it and you can't read it, which is exactly what happened with the Patriot Act. They had all these thousands of pages, and they said, no, you can't read it, you have to pass it, but you can't read it. And that's what they did. They passed it without reading it. So much for the democracy that you have. Your fine American Republic, isn't it great? You were sold out in a flick of a switch in 15 minutes by congressmen who are a bunch of fat pigs that sit at the Senate bar and get drunk, that order young boys from brothels in New York and Baltimore to come to Washington to bed them down. And these things have been reported over and over again. In fact, I have a picture here of the front of the New York Times revealing how boys were taken into the White House at midnight in the Bush administration, stayed there all night long, and monies were transferred, which looked as though, you know, materials had been delivered, but the materials that were really delivered were nothing but sexual services for these perverts. Now, I am not homophobic. I'm not heterophobic. But I believe that men who are in government should not sell out the people they're supposed to represent for a spin through the sheets with a boy or a girl who are underage. Or young people in their 20s who are beautiful to look at and to play with. I don't think that should be done. I don't care if they do it with legal age people who are consensual. But I don't want them to rape people. I don't want them to go to bed with children. I don't want any of that. What I want is for the government to represent the people in this country. And instead, they're representing the people who run the banks, the same people who went across in ships to run the Soviet Union in 1917, paid for by a Jewish banker named Jacob Schiff, the president of the Guaranty National Bank. And it's all there in history. It's right there for you to find out. In fact, you go to Jew Watch News, you'll find it. Look up the USSR in JewWatch.com. Look it up on Google. Just put USSR in JewWatch.com, and you will find hundreds of articles. Nothing that I wrote. These are articles written mostly by Jewish people, people who work for the Jewish New York Times, the Jewish Washington Post, people who worked in the State Department, which was has a much higher number of Jews in it than it should have, because the Jews are only 2 or 3% of America. But you're talking tens of percentiles in all of these agencies. They dominate these agencies because they are so powerful and because they have colonized America. And they've used their banking money, whereby they get money for free, and you have to pay interest to them to get any of it out of their hands. That's how they've been able to control and own almost everything in this country that's of any value. And to truncate businesses down to where we have 3 or 4 or 5 car companies, 3 or 4 or 5 cable companies, 3 or 4 or 5 communication companies, 3 or 4 or 5 medical companies, and on and on and on. Instead of having hundreds and thousands of people and businesses running these things, they've been able to buy them up one after the other, and then to sell them off in parts for more money, and sometimes even less money than they bought it for, just to shut them down. They screwed over Ted Turner with CNN. He owned CNN. He had started it. It was the first a satellite news station for the whole country, and it was made for cable. CNN was cable news network, and he started it. He was brilliant, and then he was talked into working with the Jews. AOL Time Warner said, come on over here, and we'll work with you, and you can run that CNN all you want. We won't bother you with it at all. And before it was over with, they had CNN, and all he had was a baseball team and a football team, and TBS, and that was it. They stole that station away from him after promising him if he went with them, he could run it. And when he left, he said, well, I'll take CNN with me. And they said, oh, you can have the baseball, you can have the football, you can have TBS, you can have Turner Movie Network, but under no circumstances can you have CNN. Because it had to be Jewish-owned, because all these other ones were Jewish-owned. And they wanted to complete their monopoly, their colonization of the American mind, so that everything that you and I and others see in this minority news network that's up there, and all these networks are owned by that minority, or they are browbeat and controlled by them one way or the other, either through advertising, etc. But they have control of these networks. They have control of all of these stations. And they're not going to let them go because they want to control you. They want this country to always be their colony. These are unfair, very dangerous, murderous people who showed by their actions in killing 65 million people in the Soviet Union what they're all about. And all the thousands that they've killed in Israel. These are blood-sucking people who will kill and kill and kill. Not because I say so, but all you have to do is read history and see how they've operated. See how they use the Mossad to undermine every government that they want to undermine, including our own. See how they penetrated the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security. It was Homeland Security and Department of Justice, each run by a Jew that came after Jew Watch News. What more proof do you need that these people are anti-American, anti-Constitution, anti-freedom? And what does the ADL do? It goes up to the Congress every year and tries to get a hate bill passed. They call it a hate bill. You know, if you say anything bad about this person or that person in a certain group, well, you could be arrested. But guess what? If you're white and someone says something against you, you can't be arrested for that. That's not a protected group. You know, if you say something against the Catholics, nothing happens. The federal government won't do a thing, because that's not a protected group. Protected groups are only groups that the ADL wants to have protected. Whatever they do, they're trying to pull power away from white people and power away from black people in this country, because we were the people that ran this country. And they are trying to, like I say, to deconstruct America. And that's what this Assange, or Assange, or however you want to pronounce his name, this WikiLeaks scandal is all about. You have secrets that aren't really all that bad, at least the ones so far that have been released. And some people have said that the CIA is behind this. that these really aren't secrets, that these are pieces of propaganda that they want to have released to prove to the world that America's not as bad as it seems. Oh, there may be some embarrassing things that are going to be revealed. Oh, and by the way, if you won't sign up with America for this or that thing America wants, well then, WikiLeaks might print something about you that we said that would make you look bad. But if you go along with us, maybe those things won't be released by WikiLeaks. I mean, you can see how this can work out very nicely for the United States and for the CIA. We're talking about, you know, an agency of deception here. Well, this is the perfect deception. If you don't play along with us, we'll make sure that WikiLeaks gets some information that you don't want to have put out there. And believe me, we have it all in our little dossiers, just like we did when we ran the Soviet Union. And you're going to pay through the nose for it. Or are we going to reveal what a bunch of slobs all of you are, and how you stole all this money, how you slept with these children in contravention of international law, how you have worked with terrorists, and we'll define anybody we want as a terrorist, including you. And so, you know, you better do what we want, or WikiLeaks or some other group like that might suddenly expose you. And it might be a false exposure. Maybe you haven't done that. But, buddy, we can make it look like you did. And we do it all the time. I don't like to come up here and tell you these things. I'd like to be able to tell you things are good. But we're living in a depression right now. What's good about that? Is there something I'm going to latch onto in the newspaper today about the depression that's going to be good? What am I going to tell you? Everything's turned around and we're down to only 3% unemployment? No, we've got the government admitting it's 9.8%, but most people say it's somewhere around 27%. Who knows? It might even be higher. You ever stood on a corner and watched the number of cars go by? How many there are by comparison to, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago before the Depression started? It's a tremendous decrease in traffic. And yet, right now, again, we're pushing $3 a gallon on gas, and in many states it's $3.50. And the highest it got was like $3.50, $4, $4.50. And it's almost back up there again, and the reason that it is that inflation was starting to rear its ugly head. There's only two ways to try to stop inflation, both of which mean taking money out of the pockets of the exploited worker, the person who actually goes to a mall and maybe buys a pair of socks for his kid, because his kid's socks are too small or they have holes in them now, because they've used them so much that they've worn them out. And so they go there to buy a little pair of socks for their kid, and they hardly have the money to do that, except that on the way to the store, they had to stop and buy gas, and now it costs them anywhere from $60 to $80 to fill their tank. And so now they can't buy that pair of socks for their kid. And so now the retailer begins to close his door because he's not making enough money because he can't even sell socks. And that's what's happening. Instead of raising the price of loans, which they can't do because the federal government has all these short-term loans, if they raise the price of loans, the federal government would go instantly broke. It would really have to start borrowing to get enough money to pay that interest. So what they're doing is they're raising the price of gas, which everybody in America needs, and the price of natural gas for heating, natural gas for generating electricity, oil for heat. All these things are going up to $3 a gallon now. They're going to go to $4, $5, or $6, or $7, and it's putting an end to any kind of spending that might be going on now, which means that inflation cannot raise its ugly head and that the banks don't have to raise their interest rates, which will hurt the federal government, because they care about hurting the federal government. But what they don't care about doing, they don't care about hurting you. They don't care if you lose your house, your car, your wife, your kids. They don't care. You are someone that doesn't even have to be considered. Now, you know, I don't like to report these things about what's bad about America, but it's my job. This is my beat. Yeah, I run AmericanUSSR.com, and the reason I do was that the federal government came after my other website, Jewwatch News, with the idea of shutting it down, because America is a kind of Nazi type of government. It has become a very repressive government that doesn't want anybody saying anything bad about the United States. So, of course, after they did that to me, I decided, hey, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to reveal every bad thing the United States does from now on, same as I do with Israel. The United States is a colony of Israel. If I can hurt the United States, I can hurt Israel. If I can hurt Israel, I can hurt the United States. And that was what the United States felt when they looked at Jewwatch News. They thought, this guy's ruining us. We are the patsy for Israel. We're the colony of Israel, basically. Israel runs our banks. And we have to do everything they want or they'll put us out of business. So we'll put this guy out of business. Well, they didn't quite get me out of business. So now I've opened up AmericanUSSR.com. And that's the payback, boys. You know, I'm going to reveal every damn thing that you've done that was bad, including injecting those little girls all over the country in those hospitals with plutonium. Plutonium from the bombs, of running American troops across Ground Zero 1 minute after an atomic bomb was blown off. Maybe it was more like an hour. It was almost immediately afterwards, after it cooled down, they ran troops across it, and every one of them died of leukemia. And that's been on 60 Minutes and other news things that are owned by the minority news groups of this country, who own all of the news in this country. Now, I have something that was just published today. It has been revealed how the CIA protected Nazi murderers immediately after World War II. This was printed Sunday. It was just 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago. It says that the U.S. shielded wartime collaborators in order to try to destabilize the Soviet Union. And it says that the, according to the story, declassified CIA files revealed that the U.S. intelligence officials went to great lengths to protect a Ukrainian fascist leader and suspected Nazi collaborator from prosecution after the Second World War and used him to stir up trouble inside the Soviet Union from an office in New York. Well, well, what do we have here? Deception. The CIA. America. The Great Lying Republic. I don't get any enjoyment out of reporting this to you. But I don't see any difference between collaborating with the Nazis and collaborating with the Israelis. They're both killers. They're both the Bolshevik tribe. That's what they are. The man's name was Mykola Lebed, and he led an underground movement to undermine the Kremlin and wage guerrilla operations for the CIA during the Cold War. This was published in a report prepared by two scholars under the supervision of the U.S. National Archives. During the Second World War, Lebed helped to lead a Ukrainian nationalist organization that collaborated with the Nazis in the murder of Jews of the western Ukraine and also killed thousands of Poles. The report details post-war efforts by U.S. intelligence officials to throw the federal government's Nazi hunters off his trail and to ignore or obscure his past. The report, titled Hitler's Shadow, Nazi War Criminals, U.S. Intelligence and the Cold War, draws from the unprecedented trove of records that the CIA was persuaded to declassify, and from more than a million digitized Army intelligence files that had long ago been inaccessible. Among other things, the authors say the files also show that U.S. intelligence officials used and protected ex-Nazis during the Cold War to a greater extent than previously known. Elizabeth Holtzman, a former Democratic congresswoman from New York, who fought for the disclosure of Nazi files, welcomed the release. "This is a difficult and in some respects shameful chapter in American history," Ms. Holtzman said. "It was not known to the public, and I think it's a mark of governmental courage and of national courage to take this era and these documents and say, We want to learn the truth about what our government did and to do it in a way that was professional and serious. In 1949, the U.S. government brought Levitt to New York, where he was safe from assassination. Through a CIA-funded organization, Prologue, he gathered intelligence on the Soviets into at least the late 1960s. In 1991, he was still considered a valuable asset to the agency. The report said Levitt was eventually identified by federal investigators as a possible war criminal, but was never prosecuted. He died in 1998. One of the report's chapters deals with how Americans used Gestapo officers, including Rudolf Meildner, after the war. Meildner oversaw security in Denmark in 1943, when most of the country's 8,000 Jews were ordered to be arrested and deported to Auschwitz, though they were rescued after Danish resistance leaders were tipped off. The U.S. Army detained Meildner and saved him from war crimes investigators because his knowledge of communist subversion was considered useful. Nazi hunters and lawmakers have long raised questions about the U.S. government's involvement with war criminals during the Cold War. Between 1945 and 1955 alone, more than 500 scientists and other specialists with Nazi ties were brought to the U.S. and went on to play major roles in such fields as missile development and the space program. What really interests me about this particular story is the fact that Elizabeth Holtzman had a lot to do with the CIA records being released. Well, who, you may ask, is Elizabeth Holtzman? Well, she's a congresswoman. And all you have to do is cross-reference her through Google by a search of Elizabeth Holtzman, Jew. You just put those three words in, and you'll find this, which is an article from the Jewish Women's Archive that says, "A member of the generation that came of age in the 1960s, Elizabeth Holtzman, who got the CIA to release these documents, has pursued a public career epitomizing some of the most important trends in post-war American and Jewish life. In her successive roles as a congresswoman, Brooklyn district attorney, and comptroller of New York City, she emerged as an effective and activist public servant, a forceful campaigner, and a champion of liberal and feminist causes. Her career illustrates the recent empowerment of ambitious, highly motivated, professional young women, who happen to be Jewish, by the way, and the increasing role of Jewish figures in electoral politics." Isn't that something? They even admitted it, the increasing role of Jewish figures in electoral politics. "In addition, she has been a dedicated Jew with a highly regarded record of communal commitment and achievement." Well, anyway, she's the same age I am. She's born in 1941 in Brooklyn. And she went to Radcliffe College, where all the rich Jewish girls go. And then she entered Harvard Law School, getting her degree in 1965. Well, isn't that wonderful? And it's, you know, when the Jews run Harvard, it must be much easier to get into the law school, don't you imagine? But if you're a non-Jew, some little piece of cattle like a goyim, and you try to get into Harvard Law School, you have a really terrible chance of getting in. But if you're Jewish, and you run that college, well, then you can make sure that your people get in, that whites don't get in, but only blacks get in, and Chinese people, and others from other minorities, but never the majority, so that you can keep the white man down, because he, in your Jewish mind, is a threat to you. Because if he runs Harvard, he might not put as many Jewish people in there. And that's what you don't like, is it? Of course, that's exactly the way it is. Jewish women say here in their archive, "Following a stint at the private New York law firm of Wachtell, Lippman, Rosen, Katz, and Kern, Holtzman served in Mayor John V. Lindsay's administration as liaison to the New York Department of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Affairs from 68 to 70. She then joined the law firm of Paul Weiss, Rufkin, Wharton, and Garrison and became active in local Democratic Party affairs." In other words, she always worked for these Jewish law firms. It must be nice to be that racist that you can have other racists who are Jewish hire you because you're a Jew. You know, you don't have to compete with the majority that way. It must be really nice. That's a nice setup, Ms. Holtzman. I have to congratulate you. That's really nice. What a nice little strategy there. In a political upset in 1972, she won the Democratic nomination as a candidate representing Brooklyn's 16th congressional district, beating the 50-year incumbent Emanuel Seller. Well, that's good. That man was a slob. He's the one that started getting all these immigrants coming in here, and he started it. He started it when he got 8,000 Chinese women to come home here after they'd married sailors over in China. And then he went from that and immediately started working on trying to get minorities into America and to limit the number of majority people who could immigrate here. And through that law, and I was in 1964 or 65, it was passed. Now the white man in this country, oh, isn't that terrible? Yes, the evil white man in this country has been limited to the point where we are now going to be a minority by 2035 or 2040. And we're going to disappear in this country because of this Jew, Emanuel Seller, who Ms. Holtzman, to her credit, defeated for Congress. Holtzman went on to defeat Seller, running as a liberal candidate at the polls that November. For Brooklynites and New Yorkers, her victory signaled a changing of the guard while at the same time symbolizing the ties that bound her to her heavily liberal Jewish and Democratic constituency. So there you have it. She represents Jews. She doesn't represent you or me. So you have to ask yourself, why does she want all of these CIA records to be released? Well, number one, she claims to be a Nazi hunter. She's a Nazi hunter. She wants to find Nazis. There might be some old men, 95 years old, in a hospital somewhere, who are still in America, and she wants to root them out, send them to Germany, where they might even die of exposure on the airplane ride. That's what she wants. That's what she wants. And if it means getting rid of all the secrets and embarrassing America to get that, she'll do it. And that's my take on it. Definitely my take on it. And she doesn't care if she embarrasses America. And I don't care if I do either. You know, she and I could probably run for office together on this one thing, that it's okay to embarrass America because America has done so many things to be embarrassed over that it's incredible. And I guess one of them is to work with a fascist in Russia who worked with the Nazis. But that's what the CIA does. That's what the Mossad does. I mean, you know, you might as well print what the Mossad did to work with the Nazis, because they did work with the Nazis. They worked with the Nazis. The CIA worked with the Nazis. The Rothschild banks worked with the Nazis. You could say this about almost anybody that wants world power, that they met with the enemy of their country at one time or another. Oh, isn't that terrible that they would do that? Well, yes, I suppose it is terrible, but that's just what they do. That's what people do when they want to be powerful and they're in government, is they go up and kiss up under their enemy in order to make certain agreements which they can then turn around and blackmail the other side with, or do something else dastardly to them with it. Or they could just sell out their own country for money and walk off with the funds and maybe go off to some nice little hotel somewhere where they can get all the little girls and boys they want to sleep with, which is also done. And, you know, I keep bringing that up, but, you know, it keeps surfacing the news that these congressmen are always doing stuff like that. And I'll never forget how the male whores were signing into the White House in the evenings. And as like I say, I have have a copy of the New York Times front page. I'm going to be putting that up on AmericanUSSR.com if it's not already up there. Now, that's really something. But at any rate, this thing about these Nazis has been that the United States was cooperating with is up there on the internet today, and it was the exposure of these things has been opened up by the CIA. And you have to ask yourself why, since the CIA has so many Jews on it, would these things be opened up? And it's because there are so many Jews in the CIA that they're now able to take control of the organization enough to release anything that they can find where the CIA cooperated with people who were associated with fascism and Nazism. But, you know, they're not going to release anything that shows how the Jews ran Russia, are they? No, of course not. They'll keep those down in the Dutch oven in the basement, where they cook up Europeans for their lunch. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. You think how a minority like Elizabeth Holtzman would get behind this, along with her other Jewish friends in the CIA, to get these things released, just for something self-serving to help Jews. She doesn't care if it just damages America. No. Jews don't care about stuff like that, or they wouldn't be colonizing America the way they have, with their banks and so forth, spending trillions of dollars to Rothschild banks, with Jews like Bernanke saying, "I'm not going to tell you where it went." But finally came out where it went, and now we know why he wasn't telling us, because he sent it to his relatives, the Rothschilds. Of course he wouldn't want to tell us that. "I don't want to tell you. I gave it to my relatives, the Rothschild bankers. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. I work for the Federal Reserve, and it's run by them, and it's owned by them, and they're the ones that got your money, and now you're going to have to pay it back and be a pauper for the next 5,000 years, and you'll have to pay it back with interest to these Jewish banks, because I didn't do it right. I'm sorry I made this mistake, Americans. Oh, I'm an American, too. I wouldn't have done it on purpose. I promise you I wouldn't have done it on purpose." Well, Mr. Bernanke, I don't know why I don't believe you, but I just don't believe you, sir. I don't believe you. I think maybe you did do it on purpose. Number one, you're Jewish, right? And number two, you worked for, Goldman Sachs? Or did you work for, the State of New York? I forget which it was. It was one of those, one or both of them. And you were your head over heels with these bankers and these speculators who destroyed our currency. And I just don't believe you, sir. I don't believe you at all. I think that I think you're pulling the wool over my eyes again. The same way you did when you said that, you know, you agreed that either we do this, we spend all this money and give it to these bankers, who are my relatives, by the way, which, of course, you didn't say, but they were, and it'll be good for me because I'm one of them and I identify with this little 2% group in America. So please give this money to me. I'll make sure that they get the money and that your economy will be saved. Otherwise, they're going to wreck your economy. How's that? My goodness. What a dreaded world we live in, with so many vipers, so many serpents who are out to get us. It's just amazing to me. And we allow them to be right there in our own government. Absolutely. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And now, finally, let me serve up to you some disinformation from Homeland Security, that Iraqi authorities have obtained confessions from captured insurgents who claim Al-Qaeda is planning suicide attacks in the United States and Europe during the Christmas season. Iraqi Interior Minister Jawad al-Bolani told the Associated Press that the botched bombing in central Stockholm last weekend was among the alleged plots the insurgents revealed. Iraqi Foreign Minister Hoshyar Zabari, in a telephone interview from New York, called the claims a critical threat. Both al-Bolani and Zabari said Iraq has informed Interpol of the alleged plots and alerted authorities in the United States and European countries of the possible danger. Neither official specified which country or countries in Europe are alleged targets. There was no way to verify the insurgents' claims. Now, if that's not a non-story, I don't know what is. Here you have the people that you dominate, because you're still pretty much occupying Iraq, telling you what you want to hear. That, oh my God, the Al-Qaeda is going to attack America and Europe. And one of the proofs is that our confessors confessed that they knew about the bombing in Sweden. Well, let me tell you something. The bombing in Sweden was so inept that I don't think you really have much to worry about if that's all they've got. Is that all they've got, where they try to blow up a car and it doesn't blow up any buildings or kill anybody particularly? Is that your only threat? Is that why you destroyed your Constitution and your freedoms in America and other places around the world, so that a bunch of inept little Arabs can try to blow up bombs in a car that don't really go off? This is totally absurd. Well, thank you for listening to me this week. And today and tomorrow, maybe we'll have another radio show. How's that, huh? You come on back here tomorrow and take a listen. And we'll see what else we can disclose to you. Because really, you know, it's stranger than fiction what's going on in this world. And I'll be more than happy to bring you more of this. Because you really need to know what's happening and how you're being betrayed by your own government operatives. Have a nice day.